Short disclaimer. This podcast is in no way affiliated with the upcoming Outlander series or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 48 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And this is Summer.
And we are here as Outlander Podcast on the Starz Outlander premiere red carpet with a very, very new friend in Sarah. Hi, Sarah, with Outlander TV News.
Hello, everyone. I've never been on a podcast before.
Woohoo! And now she's about to. She'll find out. So, yeah, we're just here prepping beforehand and just pretty much getting ready and looking forward to
meeting just about everyone.
Meeting as many people. We're kind of shocked at who now may show up.
Yes.
Completely, exactly. Completely unexpected.
Yes.
But it's. I mean, we're talking like John Barrowman, Nell Hudson. We did not expect Leary, the leg whore herself, as people call her.
Yes, exactly.
This is going to be amazing. It's going to be neat.
Yeah. Awesome.
So even if half of the extra show up, it'll be awesome.
If just Tobias showed up.
Oh my gosh. Are you a Tobias fan too? Or are you just making fun of me?
I don't care. I'll take anyone.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, you heard that, world. Okay, so we will continue this later, I guess.
So, announcements this week.
Pretty much
this whole episode is announcements. I mean, to call it announcements section is kind of silly to me at this point.
Because that's all we have.
Because it was a week of announcements. Like, because, you know, obviously we're not doing a read-along this week, and we don't have one big interview
or something.
So pretty much everything was Comic-Con and the premiere. So I actually, and by I mean Summer, was actually not at Comic-Con. I came down on Friday evening. Mm-hmm. I came down Friday evening. And
she literally hopped out of a car and met me on the red carpet.
I did. I did, in fact, do that.
It's like, where is she?
And that, we all met up at the red carpet after.
And then at the end, she left the premiere and literally went across the street to a restaurant to meet someone. So, her ride. So, she literally came into town for this and then left.
Look, I have my priorities. I don't know what to tell you.
I know. It's all good.
But I'd also like to say that after spending an entire day at Comic-Con, Ginger had a giant backpack.
Oh,
so when I showed up, like, this backpack, you could have probably, like, put me. It would have been, like, carrying me on your back it looked like.
That backpack, it was extra bad on Friday because at least Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday, it was my purse. And at Comic-Con, as people know, if you've ever gone, you'll know that you need a bag, whether you carry it with your hand or have a purse or have a backpack. I wanted to have hands free, so I decided to bring my backpack, and it also served as my carry-on or my personal item for the plane flight. So I didn't have a purse, so this was it. But on Friday, and Sarah from Outlander TV News can attest to this because she did actually got up actually earlier than me. Poor girl. I was up at 4:30 the first few mornings to get stuff done, to get the lines, to get everything that needed to be done so I could hopefully see the things I wanted to see at Comic-Con. Getting up that early and knowing you have no time between your end of your day at Comic-Con and going to the premiere, getting ready for and going over to the Spreckles Theater, everything I had, the stuff I normally would have taken with me during the day for Comic-Con and everything I would have needed for that night had to go in the backpack. It was awful, and I know I must have taken, like, three people out that day. I mean, It was a little bit embarrassing, but, you know, I had to get over it. Thankfully, on the red carpet, which we'll get into later, I didn't wear it. But I do think it took up the space of at least a person. Well, standing room.
It surely did. We only really got, like, 2 square feet of space on the red carpet.
We were single file.
Yeah, single file. We were not single file. I was standing behind
you. No, I was behind you. No, you were behind me for actually most of it.
We were in like a triangle formation in a 2 square foot.
I was behind you and Sarah was kind of next to both of us. We did have quote unquote 2 spots, but it was amazing. We loved it all and we made it work.
We totally made it work. And I think that we did our best to not look like the absolute noobs that we were.
Yeah. We did our best and I squeed a little bit. And Summer will tell you what the result of that was when we get to that point.
So, in contrast to her week, I basically got in a car Thursday afternoon because I had coerced some family members into making it a trip. Like, just to try to, you know, cut down on costs and make it a bigger thing so that it wasn't just me driving down south by myself. And as many of you know, we are in Northern California, and we're a good eight hours from San Diego, 8 or 9, depending on traffic. So we stayed, as I said, we were trying to do this on the cheap, we stayed in some real, like, third world country hotels. Like, they were, I mean, we intended to be on the cheap, but I don't think that
you knew what you were getting into.
No.
So it was even worse than our haunted hotel in LA?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
That was a huge room.
It was a good size room.
We had one, okay, the second night. The first night was kind of spacious, and it had Wi-Fi, so I mean, I'm not going to say that it wasn't like, you know, that awful, but there were stains on the carpet. And it's like, if the first thing you do when you walk in a room is there's a giant stain on the carpet, I'm like, okay, we're done.
Well, and your shoes aren't coming off.
Right, so basically you're in shoes the entire time, and then you're going to burn the socks you were wearing when you get home. The second night, I swear to you, they had 2 full-size beds in a room that was not much bigger than 2 full-size beds. Like, there was maybe a foot in between the 2 beds. Like, I could have reached out and touched whoever was sleeping in the bed across from me. And it's the first hotel I've ever stayed at that didn't have a tub-shower combo. Mm. It literally had a shower stall with a cracked floor. None of us used it. We did not shower that night. We showered the next night. But my Friday was, basically, we got up in Bakersfield. We'd driven down to Bakersfield the first night. We got up. We drove to Bakersfield. I'd taken a shower the night before and did my hair and curlers and stuff. And then we got up the next morning. I did my hair in the morning. And then we drove all the way to San Diego. Actually, we drove to Oceanside, where the hotel was. And then when we got into Oceanside, I basically did my hair, finished my hair, did my makeup, got dressed. And then we drove into San Diego for it. And I got dropped off. It was supposed to be at the theater. But we've severely underestimated the traffic for Comic-Con. And, like,
I tried to tell him.
Well, here's the thing. The freeway traffic, yeah, there was traffic, but it wasn't that bad. But once we got off the freeway, like, it took, I'd say, 15 minutes to go, like, a block. Mm-hmm. To the point that when I realized that, according to our GPS, we were, like, 900 feet away, I was like, I'm out. I'm walking. I'm walking now. I will find it. I'm like, I will get there faster than we can drive. So I got out and walked, and like magic, there they were, right where they said they'd be.
So when Summer ended up meeting us there, that's how she got there. The way I got there was, if we back up a little bit, let's talk about the panel at Comic-Con. There were lines and there were lines, but it was all good. So Friday morning, I was fortunate enough to get into room 6A, and we waited through a number of panels, and I forget every single one, but I remember My Little Pony, and, oh no, I remember. It was Evangeline Lilly with her children's book, The Squicker Wonkers. It was actually quite endearing. It was very sweet. The music that they had, like a little, like a PowerPoint presentation kind of thing, but a projection image, and some images from the book. Beautiful illustrations. And the music that was chosen, because she has a digital edition as well coming out, an interactive digital edition, was absolutely gorgeous. And I thought, I'm actually enjoying one of the panels I didn't even come to see. And she was they all took questions, but it was very interesting, and music was beautiful. I actually might want to get a copy, because it was really interesting and sweet and beautiful. And then My Little Pony, which was interesting, and if you're a fan, I can totally, totally understand wanting to go to something that you're a fan of. Hello, you know, we're Outlander fans. I get the fan thing.
I want to know the male-to-female ratio.
That's what I'm talking about. I don't think the ratio was that necessarily disturbing. I'm not here to talk about the bronies. I think it's great that there are fans of all ages, of both sexes, genders, what have you. That's awesome, because you're supporting something that really means something to you for whatever reason. I was just only a tiny bit uncomfortable with the increasing age of these male fans and the amount of facial hair that so many of them have. I wasn't disturbed by it. It was just this odd dichotomy. And that may not even be the right word. It's this children's pony, unicorn, that's, cartoon.
Okay, that's true. With, but with, My Little Ponies have been around.
For a long time.
That so a lot true. Of these older gentlemen probably have been watching it since the 80s.
Absolutely. So. I almost said I'm a brony. I can't be a brony. I do remember the My Little Pony. It was great.
I love that there's enough of them that they have their own term.
Oh, yeah. There is. I think it's great. And go, bronies. Just a few of the things that were not said, but you could just see that a few people around were maybe a smidgen uncomfortable. Not by anyone anything was doing. It's just like kind of the atmosphere. But it was very interesting. And the panel was very generous. So sweet how many kids were there. And just these tiny little voices. And they were, it was a very kind of friendship is magic.
I know.
Okay. So after them, there was
kids passes
Gravity
cost?
Falls.
Like if I was going to take a six-year-old.
I don't know. We'll have to look into that.
We'll have to look into that.
Yeah. So then it was Gravity Falls, which is a Disney cartoon.
It is a Disney cartoon.
And I have heard of it. Like, I knew the name, but I had never seen anything from it, never heard anything about it. Gravity Falls panel was very interesting. Tons of people there. As a matter of fact, I know a lot of people were there for Outlander, but I think there were also a lot of... Well, no, they all were crazy. Crazy exciting and crazy attractive to fans. There were a lot of My Little Pony fans. A lot left the room because, you know, there were a lot of kids there. But, you know, actually a lot of people stayed for Gravity Falls. And between Gravity Falls and Outlander, I mean, I think there was some movement. There was some movement, but not a ton. But then, of course, came Outlander. And you can see the recording of the panel, so we don't need to necessarily go into that. But I was in the fifth row next to a friend, and I was near the end. So I had very few people in front of me. No one, thankfully, too tall or in a hat. So I had a very decent view of the panel, all of the people, and of the projection screen. So I did what hopefully a lot of people would do, was I took a lot of pictures. I just, with my iPhone, snapped a lot of pictures and did a few short little video segments, maybe 20 seconds or less. And I did know that when I, that day, that night, or it was definitely Friday night, because between all the pictures and the short videos I took at the panel at Comic-Con and the extra recording I did of some shots and some video on my phone, but Summer and I, between us, did on my phone, there was a lot of storage used. I got, for the first time on my somewhat new phone, an alert that it was not going to hold anything more. And I kind of went through later that day, or maybe Saturday, kind of just scrolled through my pictures, the whole photo album. And all I saw, with the white background, the white and had a little image on it, but that...
The Comic-Con
image background, logo, on the background behind the panelists. If you just scroll through the shots, like actually rather quickly, every single shot has that as the background. So you can tell where my shots started for the panel and where they ended. And they weren't... When I scrolled through my phone, it wasn't stopping. I was like, oh my gosh, how many did I take? And I thought, oh, you know, maybe 100, 200. And I think it's actually more like 300 or 400. But remember, I was doing a lot of tap, 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 tap. So I would get like 5 shots in, you know, a few seconds. I was always looking at what I was photographing. But my number one goal was to make sure that I had stuff to put either Instagram or Twitter or whatever that I at least showed. I needed a few of Ron and Diana, or Ron and Diana and I guess it was Sam. But anyway, I did go out of my way. I wanted to make sure I had enough of each one. Tried to get them in twos so I could have a picture of a pair. And then today, Monday evening, Summer actually looked through my photos on my phone.
She finally let me look at them because I had taken a bunch of pictures with her phone, because we used my phone to record sound and the audio on the red carpet. And her phone we used to take some video clips and to take pictures with. So I hadn't actually seen any of the pictures prior to today. And as I was looking through her phone, I was, first of all, alarmed by the amount of white background.
I said it was a lot.
It was a lot. I wasn't expecting that many. And then as I looked at them more closely...
And then she looked at them individually.
I'm fairly sure that 90% of these photos are of Tobias Menzies.
Or at least had him in it. I got a lot of singles, but I got a lot of him with someone next to him. But I would say maybe 70. They're a good number.
Good God.
And we're not going to count them. And that's all we need to say. Because this is my private phone. This
it's
is not,
true.
I'm not going to put up 400
it's
photos.
Not, here's the thing. If you've been listening to this show, you know that it's not a surprise.
So after the panel... We raced over, a friend and I raced over to the Back to the Stars booth in the exhibit hall to get in line for the autograph signing, not a panel, but an autograph signing thing where you get in line.
Now, did they charge for that? Because most places do.
No. There were, I have heard that, and I have heard that about, I think I've heard that about Comic-Con. I could be wrong. But basically, you had to get a little card and get it from, I guess, their little bag that you pulled the cards out of kind of thing when you went to visit the booth. And we had, my friend and I had gotten a card, and we waited in line. And we, even though we were pretty quick to get there, we were not the first. The continuation line. And they told us, they had a sign that said continuation line, and we were taken away from the booth over to, not really far, but out of the way against the wall of the large room. So we were out of the way, because otherwise fire hazard and, you know, people hazard, people crowd hazard. So our continuation line was walked across the room over to the wall, and we were near the front, pretty much, and it was a very nice gentleman, and there were a lot of kilted guys there, a very nice man in a kilt who was our kind of line placeholder, who was the first one there to say, okay, this is where you stand. So after, it was amazingly fast, so we ended up, once it started moving, we ended up going from where we were over back to the booth in a group. And we got in line. We had to go around the little castle thing and back in front of where this dais, I think they were higher than we were. So there was a dais with a table on it where the stars were sitting. And we just walked down the table. They gave us, I don't think I've showed you yet. They gave us like a long postcard. Like about this, about maybe 2 feet long or 2.5 feet long. And it had the poster art on it, the key art. And it said Outlander. But it had enough space on it that you could actually read something if you wanted to sign it. So they gave you that, and you just walked down, and you went boom, boom, boom through the line, and it was Ron, Diana, you know what, I'll have to check your pictures, it'll be their pictures somewhere, but you got one from everybody. And I think it was actually the same order as the panel was. So we go through, everything was signed, and that was actually pretty quick. And then my friend and I, because she was attending the premiere as well, we went over to Nordstrom's to get ready.
They have a pretty fancy lounge area.
It's a nice one.
Bathroom.
We still changed in a stall, so not that fancy. It wasn't a big stall, but it was enough. And then they had like a little, I think it's actually like for nursing mothers.
Well,
but we went in there and changed.
I think that the fancy status of a bathroom is not dependent upon the size of the stall, but more about whether or not there's like an antechamber.
Oh, yeah.
With you know, chaise lounges.
I don't know if there was
delightful music playing.
Nordstrom had music playing. But there may have been something. I don't even remember. We were just trying to be quick and not do our makeup because our makeup is already done, but to just maybe touch up or something and comb our hair back or comb through our hair, whatever it was. Change shoes, change clothes. Load up my 50-pound backpack again and then head down. Leisurely walk because anyone who knows San Diego, or at least this past weekend, it was a good warm weekend. Not overly hot, but warm with about 70-something percent humidity, if I'm not mistaken. So it was warm and humid. You walk outside, you go 20 feet, you start to perspire. If you go too far, you sweat like a pig. So we were doing our best to go slow because we didn't want to be all sweaty when we got there, because with this backpack on me, it was obviously going to be more sweaty. So we get over there and we meet Sarah from Outlander TV News, who was on the red carpet with us. And pretty much from there, got ready, said goodbye to my friend. She went inside to take her place and to get her ticket and get in line and go sit down. And then a little bit later, we met up with Summer. And that's kind of where the red carpet started.
It did start. Well, we got there and we signed in as members of the press, which was a huge thrill for me because I would never in my mind have ever thought that I would say that I was a member of anyone's press for that matter. But I have a special press placard that I will save and cherish always.
I'll hang it up somewhere.
That's right. I'll wear it. I'm going to wear it tomorrow just because I can. So they basically led us over to our, as we stated before, 2x2 foot square area. Now granted, most people only got a 1x1 foot square, but because we were sharing our spot with Outlander TV News and we were kind of doing joint interviews, we had a 2x2 square.
Two separate ones that we just smushed together.
I don't know. It was kind of trial by fire. The good thing, they handed us this pamphlet that kind of had a pictures.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Of everyone that was going to be there or could be there. Mm-hmm. And the whole first, you know, first page and a half is all Outlander related people. And then you turn the page and you're like, oh, these people aren't an Outlander at all. They had black sales actors, their pictures with their names. They had, there was somebody from the originals. There was just a bunch of like almost random actors. Like it was kind of random, the groupings they were giving us of people that might or might not be there. And it was just kind of a heads up to say, hey, in case these people are here, you might want to come up with questions for them. Now, we didn't know half of these people, and we were not remotely prepared to interview most of them. However, Ginger has seen the entire first season of Black Sails.
And I love it.
And she loved it. So when we saw that the Black Sails actors had arrived, and the publicist came over and said, hey, would you like to speak with the
like,
people
come here, please.
From Black Sails, Ginger was like, yes, yes, 1,000 times yes.
Did I say that, really?
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay.
But that's what I heard. So they bring the three lovely people from Black Sails over. And I honestly think it was good that we did this. Because it was almost like a warm-up. Warm-up to try to get your jitters out. Because, I mean, we've done interviews.
But they're all... None of them are face-to-face. Well, only the drop-in one was face-to-face. Right. And that was the accidental interview.
They're all over Skype. You know, we all just
and
kind
of... planned.
Yeah, they're planned. So...
We had a little planning for this, but for the stars, for the people that we knew from Outlander,
right?
The actors, but
we've never been face to face with anyone.
No,
where we've been
recording
it. And
we didn't know who was going to come outside.
No, we didn't. So, but it was a really good, like I said, a warm up session to get us ready for it. But I think at that point, or at this point, I should say, probably should play you some of our interviews from the red carpet. What do you think?
Absolutely, we should share them. What we did, as Summer explained a little bit of our literal stand-up situation there, Summer and I were together, and we were right next to Sarah from Outlander TV News. And we have basically, I don't know if you'd say triangulated our data, because it's not really three. It's really only two that she needs. She took a video, and she's going to use our audio to make sure, just I guess to make sure she has the best quality of any product that she can have. In case she needs our audio.
We're just sharing content. I mean,
that's all
I need to say.
Well, no, we're sharing content. And so for this is our audio, and we hope to be able to share her video as well on our blog once she's done her masterwork. So we definitely worked together on this. And the cool thing was we interviewed together, and in many cases, such as in our first interview, it was three of us interviewing three.
Now, it should be known that because of the formation of the red carpet, we couldn't all be on the front line. So I graciously took a step to the back and was kind of in it was like a reverse triangle where it was the two in the front and one in the back. So I was in the back.
That's true.
And so while I did shout some things over, I'm not heard quite as clearly, but there are a few times where you can almost hear me. But I did jump in the front and interview Sam and Katrina at the end, which was what I really wanted anyway. So, yay!
So we, actually going into it, the only thing Summer and I, because we had planned, we didn't know that we'd be next to Sarah. Well, we hoped we would be next to Sarah, but we didn't know we'd be doing this together. We hadn't just discussed it beforehand. It worked out really, really well. But if it had just been Summer and I, we had discussed, yes, of course, I would have loved to have, we were all there, but I would have loved to have spoken to Sam, of course. But I really wanted to make sure I was able to interview Tobias, and she really wanted to interview Sam, and I'm fine with that.
Because I thought we had a connection.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
But no, that was really the only thing we said, and other than that, I think I would have liked Katrina as well, but you know what? They were together. Neither of us is complaining. It was a very, very wonderful night. So, without further ado, our first mini interview was with three actors from Black Sails on Stars, and they were Luke Arnold, Jessica Parker Kennedy, and Zach McGowan.
Hi, I'm Ginger, and this is Summer, and we're with the Outlander Podcast, and this is Sarah with Outlander TV News. Yeah. We love to follow all the Stars shows, and I'm a huge fan of Black Sails. And my question is, what are you most looking forward to for your character in season two?
You know, having already shot season two, what I think I'm most excited for people to see is kind of like the next evolution of who he is. And I think that the writers were you know, were really great to all of the characters. I mean, I think you find a lot out about who these people are and why they do what they do across the board. And I think that's what's exciting about the next season.
Great. Yeah, for me, Max went through a whole lot of stuff in season one, and there's a sense that, she has a quiet vengeance there with her, which I think is really cool. She's excellent at manipulating those around her, and she's going to come back and do a lot of damage in a really sexy way, I think.
Yeah. Oh, very nice.
And I think for me, I think by the end of season one, you kind of see that Flint and Silver are kind of tied to each other for the first time. I think the really exciting thing for me with season two is seeing that relationship develop and that this kind of, I'm not going to say love-hate, more kind of hate-hate relationship going on, but how these two very different and very similar men are kind of forced into working together.
Your last scene of the last episode, how was that? Was it very emotional and very strong and very brutal, just coming out of the ground, coming out of the earth like that? How was that? Was that a bit of a metamorphosis, a rebirth for your character, for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was. That was a very interesting experience. The whole shooting of that was a crazy time in my life and a crazy time on the show, and really, kind of a time I just threw myself into stuff. And so, to be honest, I mean, I kind of actually got buried and stuff. We did a lot of amazing, cool stuff. We kind of pushed the limit, and then I went all around covered in mud, and it was in front of a lot of extras. I mean, it was a really exciting moment. But it's to me, yeah, it's freeing. It's fun. It was a fun time, and to get to do a fight sequence like that, I'd do it all over again.
It was amazing to watch. Like you guys did a breathtaking job.
Yeah. Garth Collins, who played Ominous, is just really fantastic.
Absolutely.
I just asked briefly about the Michael Hutchence movie.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up listening to him, and you do look like an awful lot. So I was wondering if you just talk about that project.
It was a mini-series, like two telemovies for Australian TV. So it aired in Australia a number of months ago, and I think is airing in New Zealand this week, I think. So that's the first, and it'll get to be seen around the world a little bit. But it was a dream job for me. That was my, the role I always said I wanted to play.
Yeah. What was the prep like for it?
I think between season one of Black Sails, I had 2 weeks before starting that. So I locked myself in a house, just watched every interview, listened to every song, found the walk and the voice, and just really kind of had to throw myself into it. And luckily, we had the band involved, and it was just a beautiful experience.
Did you actually sing? Or
very little. I sing it, because I think the fun of that show was hearing all the hits again, and you want to hear Michael, and all that stuff. So I sang a little bit in some of the scenes and the rehearsal scenes and stuff like that, but mostly it was about, hearing In Excess at their best.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
No worries.
And we all watched it on set. When we were out shooting, we were all so jealous because he did a great job.
Oh, so jealous. And it was so cool hearing about the process. I felt like we had such an inside scoop.
Yeah. Well, they were there when I was sending tapes through to audition for it.
Yeah. When he was singing with his lampshade, right?
Yeah.
He had his lamp. He was using that as a microphone.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I wanted to tell you do a beautiful job of showing the inner strength and the developing strength of your character, who is in such difficult positions and having to work in a difficult as a woman in that time.
Oh, just that's so
beautiful.
Lovely of you to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now for this next one. This one was kind of funny because
it was almost a fluke.
It was
not planned.
Well, it wasn't a fluke. Her picture was included in her pamphlet in the beginning, but she was actively trying to sneak in. So she was kind of quietly, quickly in the background, kind of trying to run towards the theater. And we literally yelled out, Meryl!
And it's possible that not everyone knows what she looks like. We remember and then saw her and got her to come over.
Oh, we called her over. I said, she was trying to avoid all of the I think
she
said
she was very kind to come over.
She was called out, she was like, oh, you caught me. She came right over and was very gracious to let us interview her.
So this is Meryl Davis.
Okay, Meryl. Meryl, this is Ginger and Summer from the Outlander podcast.
Oh, I love you guys.
We love you.
And Sarah from Outlander TV News.
I also love you.
Thank you.
You guys are great. In fact, sometimes I feel like you get news before I get it. I'm like, a new picture is out.
Oh no.
I'm here for you, Meryl.
I heard you guys.
Huge fans. and so nice to see you again, and I'm very excited for obviously the event.
Yeah.
So if you had to say in a sentence or two, how would you tell someone who has never heard of the book, never heard of Diana, and just is walking by the street, what is this big thing? What is it about?
It's the most amazing show ever. But it's just a great historical drama about an amazing, strong woman, and I think we're kind of lacking roles for strong women now. And I think what's great about it is she's both a strong woman, but she's also vulnerable enough to have a great relationship with Jamie, and I think that's what we love about her. It's like you can be strong, but you can also have a loving, equal relationship with a person. And then there's great adventure for guys, for the Outmanders, and it's just, I just love these books. I'm just so thrilled. I hope you guys love it, though. I'm so nervous tonight.
Yeah, is this the first time with, like, non-press?
Oh, yeah, this is the first time that fans are going to see it. I'm so nervous because, you know, we just want to make sure we do right by you guys, so.
I think it looks good.
I hope so.
I think it's, yeah, I mean, Diana said on the Comic-Con panel today that it, and Ron too,
yeah,
that the relationship between the two has been so generous both ways, and a match, is it my words now?
Yeah.
A match made in heaven. It's really...
Yeah. Well, as long as, that's why I always say, as long as Diana's happy, I'm happy, because we can't include everything, so if she's happy, I'm like, feel like we're doing something right, and I feel like I'm happy, she's happy, we're all, it's good, so.
Were you expecting the interaction with everyone on Twitter? Because when you first kind of started interacting, it was a slow, but now you did a lot.
I was new to Twitter. We didn't have this. On Battlestar, we didn't do Twitter at all.
Yeah.
And, I was slow at first because I thought people won't care that I'm brushing my teeth or what, but I think having Outlander fans, it gives you something to talk about, and you guys are so generous with your time and so enthusiastic and passionate about it. It's fun. I love talking about the book, so it's fun to talk with fans and share it with them, because that makes what we do after the long days and the hard work makes you want to continue, because it's been a long haul and we're all tired, and you know, it makes it worth it.
How many episodes do you have left to film?
2.5.
Wow, it's almost there.
We've got one more vlog, a vlog and a half to go. I see the light at the end of the tunnel finally.
Yeah.
Are you heading back at the end of this?
I'm going back next week. Yeah.
Next week. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to spend a little Helix time too.
Yes.
Have
you
started writing season 2 yet?
We don't have a season 2 yet, stars. But, you know, we always think about it, but we're so busy with season 1 right now, so.
Enough on your plate for.
Yeah, I'm just hoping we make it to the end line. That's what I'm hoping. So I'm so excited about it, though. We have so much fun stuff coming up, and.
Yeah.
It's great.
Thank you so much. Impressive.
Well, thank you guys.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Meryl.
Right here.
Next up on the red carpet, we had Bear McCreary, the composer for all of the lovely music that has been included in the series. And I know it's out now. Everyone can see the title sequence.
Yes.
And you can hear the haunting.
Yes.
Haunting, very haunting music that he has created. Well, he didn't create the music, but he orchestrated it.
Well, he definitely arranged it, and I believe he orchestrated it, but it was his own I guess rendition, his own version of this traditional song. And his wife, Raya.
It's Raya, he says it in the interview.
And his wife, Raya, does an amazing job, which is part of the performance that was inside the premiere, on the stage inside the theater. And I believe that's also shared. I believe people can also watch that. But it was very... it was very, very good. But yes, when he spoke to us of course, the music.
Well, we only got one question. Like, literally, before they brought him over, they were like, you have one question. Because he had to go inside for the sound check for the...
It was one question, but it was a good few minutes.
It was we picked a good one question, because it wasn't yes or no. So he definitely, you know, went on for a little bit, which was good.
Hi, Sarah Dollar.
Hi, Sarah.
I love you, Bear.
Ginger and Summer with the Outlander podcast.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
We were fortunate enough to see at least part of the first episode.
So which part?
I was desperate to see the opening credits.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to talk to you about.
All right.
So what was your inspiration?
You know, this is... the main title is a folk tune that is my favorite Scottish folk tune ever. And it was one that, even in high school, I started playing around, and I reharmonized it in a way that was just... I actually forgot what the real harmonies are, because it was just my way of doing it.
Yeah.
And I just recorded it so many times over the years. And when I found out Ron finally got Outlander off the ground, I sent him this thing and I was like, hey, you know, just by coincidence, like, I'm a complete obsessive over the music of the Jacobite Uprising. Like, here's a thing I recorded years ago of, like, this tune, which is just my favorite tune.
Yeah.
And he heard it and he goes, oh, well, that's the main title.
He's been hiding that from us.
And her voice is, the tune is haunting, but her voice, it's and good. That scenery, yeah. And the running and the showing her burn, the
yeah, so,
is haunting.
You know, we brought in Rhea, who, you know, full disclaimer, is my wife. She sang on Battlestar. She sang on a bunch of things, you know, and at first I just brought her in because I was like, hey, help me get a feel for what this will sound like. And then, you know, I don't know if we'll have a vocal or if it'll be instrumental like my old version. And I played it for Ron, and it was clearly something clicked. And it went, and before I even knew it, it went to Stars, it went to Sony, and everyone was just like, holy cow, that's great.
Yeah.
You know? I will tell you guys, I don't know if Ron wants me to tell you this.
Go ahead.
At the first mix, let me preface by saying Ron is a chill dude,
yeah.
Okay? He's a reserved guy. Mm-hmm. At the first mix, when the main title came up, and he heard it finally, Rhea's vocal, the final version, the live strings, the live bagpipe, everything. I'm watching it, and I feel someone tap my shoulder. And I look over, and he's looking at me, tears pouring down his face.
We had goosebumps last night.
We had tears, yeah.
I never thought I would see that as long as I live. So I knew then, I was like, wow, there's something. And everybody that has heard it has almost sort of with shock. Like, it really kind of resonates. And it feels, I like it because it feels timeless. And it's a female vocal so that it evokes our heroine without literally being her voice. It feels sort of like her passive voice, but it's not like, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
it just fits somehow.
Yeah,
and I'm very excited about it. And while there was a part of me that was thinking, you know, I've got a love theme for Claire and Jamie that's going to be featured very prominently. You're going to hear it a bunch. And I thought, shouldn't that be the theme of the show? But I was like, I can't make it make sense in my brain when I know how well this works.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was really excited, you know,
right.
and so that I got my favorite tune in the best spot in the show. And,
yeah.
You know, you hear it in a few other places, too. It's useful, I think, to be able to put it there.
It's a treat, and we can't wait for the soundtrack to come out.
Awesome, yeah.
For your support.
Thank you so
of course.
Much.
Thank
yes,
you.
Very
Don't
much
tell
so.
Ron I told you that.
We will not.
I think one of the big surprises for me was the fact that Nell Hudson was there.
Mm-hmm.
Because she wasn't at Comic-Con.
Mm-mm.
You know, we weren't previously notified that she was going to be there with all the press notifications. So that was kind of, while it was surprising to see the people from Black Sails and, you know, the other people from the other shows, I had no idea that Nell Hudson was going to be there. So that was definitely, we were totally unprepared for her. But I think we were able to come up with some stuff off the cuff.
Hi there. My name is Ginger, and this is...
Hello. Ginger's a great name.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to change my name to Ginger. That's a good
you,
name.
Go for it.
Okay.
And we're from the Outlander podcast.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And this is Sarah.
Hello.
From Outlander TV News.
Nice to meet you.
And one thing I was wondering, because I haven't seen you in a lot of interviews and things,
yeah.
Specifically about Outlander.
Yeah.
Knowing... Well, through your research before you, or as you approached the role,
mm-hmm.
and you probably found out pretty soon, not just in the fandom, but in the opinion of people about Leary, etc.
Yeah.
How did you choose to approach the character?
Well, I think with any character, you have to be on their side. So I think the fans kind of see Leary as the villain of the piece, but you can never go into playing any character... subjectively, you have to be completely on their side. You have to be like, well, this is me, so I wouldn't think Leary's a bitch. Leary's a, you know, floozy, whatever the American word would be. you have to just see things from their point of view, and I totally did. When I read the book, I'd already been cast as Leary. So when I read the first book, I hated Claire. I was like, oh, God, Claire, just, like, go away. Get out of my way. I hated her, even though she was the heroine of the book. So, yeah, I completely went into the whole thing on Leary's side, completely, because she's just a girl with a broken heart, and who hasn't been there? Who hasn't been there? That's a really wonderful part to play, you know?
read further into the books? So do you know what's
going happen? I'm halfway through the second book, and I'm aware that some nice things happen for Leary in book three.
I'm
aware of that. I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but
no spoilers, but Leary's still around in book seven. I will ask you something that we are kind of maybe going to ask a few others as well.
Cool.
If our hopes and dreams are realized and this is in a multiple, it becomes a franchise and multiple seasons.
Yeah.
How do you feel about continuing with Leary?
I mean, she's me. I'm Leary. So, like, I'm rooting for her and I would love to carry on with it in order to kind of get her comeuppance, you know, to like, carry on and, like, follow through to the end of her storyline, you know. Yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity as an actor to play a character for that amount of time. Completely.
Absolutely. And that's it does happen, but it can also be very unique.
Yes. Yeah. Well, fingers crossed. I mean, we all want it to happen, right?
Yes. I think so. Yeah. Just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Good. So is your filming finished for the?
I finished about a month ago.
Okay.
And I'm here in LA, and I'm loving LA. This is the first time I've ever been in California.
Really?
Yeah, which is really, really cool for me. It's very exciting.
So what have you, before we let you go, because I know we have to kind of, I think, let you go. What has been your highlight of your trip?
This today. Oh my god, totally today. But also, like, just like the complete American experience of, like, things like going to diners and drinking Coke floats is, like, completely alien to us. And we're like, oh my god, this is so cool. So, you know, it's all very exciting for us. Like,
well,
everything.
Enjoy your trip.
Thank you so much.
And thank you so much.
No worries. See your performance.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lovely to meet you. You as well.
So the first of our tag teams of the evening, they brought over Ron and Diana. And in the middle of the interview, Ron was taken away from us. So we were left with Diana, which was totally fine because we had plenty of things to say to Diana. Yeah. But he did come back at the end.
Yes. And we got in, I think, a question or so with him and then spoke with Diana for a little bit longer. And then he did come back before they were ushered on to the next grouping or next person in the press line.
The one thing I will say about Diana that I think is so lovely is that, and maybe it's not genuine, but I like to think it is that she remembers people. Like, she remembers, she's like, oh, yes. Like, and either she's a really good actress or it's absolutely genuine, but she just has that look in your eye like, oh, yeah, I totally remember you.
Or, yeah, I actually do.
Yeah, so she's just lovely. She's just lovely.
Hi, Ron Moore and Diana Gabaldon. My name is Ginger. This is Summer for the Outlander podcast.
How are you? Yes.
And this is Sarah, Outlander TV News.
Oh, lovely to see you, yeah. Ron, if this does, hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, last 8 or 10 seasons, are you going to follow it through to the end?
I'm just trying
to
get to
where you are now.
I'm just trying to get to the end of this season.
Okay.
One thing at a time, boys and girls.
And for Diana, with all the attempts at bringing this to screen, big screen, small screen, etc., how do you feel, or did you ever expect to be doing a red carpet or a tartan carpet, as it were?
Oh, I thought it would happen eventually. I just didn't know under what circumstances, and I couldn't have asked for better circumstances.
Absolutely.
And you're talking to Diana. Ron, like,
okay, thanks. And which we love. Or whom we love. No, which. You're not a thing. Excellent. So you have spoken in the past, and you spoke today again about how generous the relationship has been between yourself and Ron.
Very collaborative.
Collaborative, exactly. Uh-huh. If the series were to continue.
Yes, which we all hope.
Hypothetical, absolutely. Yes. Crossing eyeballs, fingers, toes, and legs.
Uh-huh.
Do you see your role continuing as collaborator and or expanding?
Well, I'm a consultant at the moment, which means they show me scripts, they show me footage, they are polite enough to ask my opinion, even though they're not obliged to take it. But, you know, they pay attention to it, which is very nice. In the fullness of time, it might work out that I would write a script. I don't know. I've met all the writers. I really enjoy them. Well, see, George used to work in television. He wrote for Twilight Zone and Beauty and the Beast. And, he worked in television for 15 years before he started writing novels. So, you know, this was normal for him. I've never written a script. I've never worked with other people. I I've met all the writers, though. I really enjoy them. I like their company. I saw how they work. Maybe I could do it. I said, you know, I totally don't want to write a script in the first season because I don't want to be responsible for screwing it up. But also, I was busy writing Moby, the eighth book, and there was no way I could have taken the time.
Would you ever want to take on a producing credit at all?
I don't think so. Yeah, those producers work like dogs. And they never get a day off.
Yeah.
And it's constant people, you know, and I'm a writer. I'm solitary by nature. Yeah, I can be sociable for a while, but not forever.
So do you see, if that happens, and we are blessed to have something written by you on screen, would you see that your ever-changing development as a writer to incorporate new genre, new types, that is screenwriter, etc., would that have been influenced by Ron and by the other writers who are involved currently with
Outlander? Oh, yes, it would. Yeah, because I've talked to a lot of friends who are writers and screenwriters and so forth, and I was like, nah, never do that. You know, as I told Ron when he asked first, I said, look, I'm not a team player. You know, I'm used to having total control over what's done, and you totally don't have that when you're working in the film world. It's a completely collaborative, multi-person effort all the time. So, you know, it's just a totally different animal. I might try it once, but I don't know. Yeah, I have my hesitations.
Well, that would be amazing. We hope that it happens. Well, thank you. Thank you both so much.
Thanks.
Next up on the carpet was Mr. Graham McTavish, who I would like to say was wearing a lovely shade of blue along with his beautiful kilt, but the shade of blue of his sweater was so striking. Like, I think it was really close to the color that I was wearing, but I didn't want to say anything. Like, I think he stole my shirt.
I just had a thought. So, we know that they're still filming.
Yes.
And he's not done. So, for the role, and because they're not done, he sports his lovely beard, mustache, all of that. I wonder if we get a second season, I wonder if he'll have time to grow it back. Meaning, I mean, you also have to know what happens in second books, and if there was a second season, and if it's filmed in order, right, chronologically, at least along with the book, I should say.
Well, it's chronological in that they have to do it episode by episode, so it will at least be chronological by episode,
since we haven't
within
discussed
within the episode, it might not be chronological, yes. But within the season, it will be.
Well, not necessarily, because in season
from episode to episode.
In season one, they did 9 and 10 before they got to 7 and 8. That was a different block. They brought it up, but other than that, I think they did. But we haven't discussed book two, so we're not going to mention anything. But Dougal is definitely in book two. And depending on where he is in, if they do a second season, depending on where he would be in that book or in that season, he may or may not have enough time to regrow all that lovely facial hair.
If he's smart, he'll just leave it. It's a good look for him.
Oh, it's definitely a good look for him, but he may want a break. If they have a hiatus, they may want a break. I'm just curious, because I'm not a guy. I've never grown facial hair. On purpose.
From what I understand, you reach a point where it doesn't itch anymore.
Well, I'm sure he's past that. I would hope
so. And then at that point, it's easier to not shave.
Long production of The Hobbit. Did you have any hesitation on you know, choosing a series that had a long time commitment also?
No, I think it's actually a very attractive part of a job for me to have that length of time that you're able to embed yourself in something and get to know the people and have the chance to tell a character story over such a long period. You know, 16 hours. I mean, that's longer than I think all of the Hobbit films and The Lord of the Rings put together, which is saying something. So it's a great opportunity to do that. So I jumped at it.
Yeah. So you probably were more prepared weapons-wise than the others when you came into the project?
Yeah. I knew how to handle the weapons, yeah. Yeah. They were, the basket-hilted sword is it's a fantastic weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, very clever. Because, you know, you can use the basket hilt and the dirk. What one surprise to me, though, was how long the dirk is.
I was, too.
It's like a short sword.
Yes. When I read the books, I thought it was short.
Yeah. So it's really, you're fighting with two swords at the same time. And
cool. I mean, what was it like coming back to Scotland to film something?
That was great. That was actually, I would have to say, probably the best part of the entire experience was living in the country again and working, having that character of Scotland inform everything that we were doing on set and the people.
Yeah.
I mean, the Scots are great people.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Here's a little sticker.
Oh, great. Thank you. I will stick it on my sparring.
Sweet.
Very nice. Thank you,
Mr.
McTavish.
Thank you so much.
Next up was Lotte Verbeek. And this was really a hard interview for Ginger because standing 2 feet to the left was Tobias Menzies. So for the entire interview, while she was speaking with Lotte, she was looking, I think, off at Tobias and grabbing what she thought was my thigh, but in actuality, she was grabbing my crotch.
Not until Tobias.
No.
I thought that was during Tobias.
No, you grabbed it during Lotte because Tobias was standing right there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
During Tobias, you were gesticulating.
Oh, that's right. My hand was out. Oh, I don't know if we have video of that to share because we're going to hopefully share Sarah's, and I'm hoping Sarah did not get my hand. Was Sarah's camera higher than me?
No, but it wasn't that it was higher. It was just from a different angle.
But hopefully it was able to get his face and not my hand.
Hopefully. All of my video has your hands.
I know. It's my phone.
But the problem wasn't so much your hands. It was your hands. It was the pocket Jamie for a while because she had a pocket Jamie in her hand and she was gesticulating.
They handed out pocket Jamies to the members of the press.
Which means that we may be having another giveaway soon. But they were handing out pocket Jamies, and Ginger, instead of putting hers like in her purse or in her ginormous backpack or even handing it to me, she kept it in her hand and was gesticulating with it.
So it looked like I was trying to make a point with pocket Jamie.
Well, it wasn't even the point. It was the fact that it kept getting in the way of all the videos I was trying to take.
Yeah.
But between that pocket Jamie and her head, and then when I took the pocket Jamie away, her hand.
That's why I needed pocket Jamie to not grab your crotch.
Right. This is becoming quite apparent. The only way to keep my crotch safe from your hand is the pocket Jamie.
Hello.
Hi. I'm Ginger. This is Summer with the Outlander Podcast.
And I'm Sarah from Outlander TV News.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. And when you were first approached, when you auditioned and you were offered the role for Gailey, how did you feel about entering or starting another series coming off of The Borgias?
Well, after The Borgias, obviously, which was a great experience, and it was also a period drama, I kind of felt like getting to know more about this, that it's, yes, it is a costume drama, but I wouldn't describe it like that per se, because it's so much more than that. It's also like, it's historical, but it's also fantasy and romance, and there's this sense of magic and mystery to it, which is really, Scotland as well. Like, we shoot in Scotland, takes place in Scotland, and there's this sense of mystique that you just really can't describe. Like, I can't even tell you. Like, you just have to tune in to get a sense of it. And then the music that goes with it in the show is just enhancing that. So that's... that's been my experience.
Excellent. And have you read past book one?
No.
Okay.
I haven't.
So you don't. But you probably have heard Gailey is in another book. No, she's alive.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
If we are blessed with further seasons until whenever, how would you feel about continuing with Gailey?
Well, I mean, I feel with Gailey, you could go on forever because she's always going to surprise you, which I love about the part. Like, I mean, I hope the audience is going to be surprised, but I definitely also hope to keep being surprised by, her tricks. The trickery, basically.
Very good.
How was it wearing trying to cover it up? Oh, yeah, the bump. You know, we actually had, believe it or not, at some point I came into the trailer and they made an amazing bump, like a very cute little, new bump. And so I walked into that trailer and there were like six bumps lined up next to each other, and that's where I was like, that's a little creepy. That's just a little weird. But it's funny how you sort of change as soon as you have the bump on. Like, it really changes everything. And they made it so well, it really looks so real. That was great.
Can you speak a little bit about Terry's costume? You seem to rave about it on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, no, Terry is like, I remember when I first went to the studio, like, I flew in to Glasgow, and I went to the studio right away to meet everyone and then go right into a costume fitting. So I remember it being sort of like, oh, wow, this is amazing. But I just got so inspired that I started to sort of like play with the materials. And what if we just turn it around? The other way around. And like, Terry was like, all right, let's do it. And that's how we've been working together. She's like, oh no, you're going to turn it around. Actually, that's not bad. Let's play with that. So that's been really great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We look forward to it. Thank you.
Yeah, me too.
Next up was Tobias Menzies.
It's true. And what I was so lovely about seeing Tobias is that we so rarely see him or hear from him, mm-hmm. that it was so delightful to not only see him, but to speak with him for as long as we did, and for him to be just so personable. And he was really, really lovely.
And one time I was watching... Summer was taking some video with my camera, which was okay. The video quality was fine, but we're not going to be showing that because my hand's all over the place. But I realized that I think I had gotten rid of the pocket Jamie.
You did.
Before Lotte.
I took it from you.
And this is past the crotch grab. And I now was back, Summer says, basically on point, more focused. I was back to gesticulating with my hand sans pocket Jamie. The problem is, oh no, sorry, not the problem. On playback, I realized that I would be gesticulating as I talked, and then I would stop, and then he started to talk. And I think the second little bit of audio we have from him, well, video, but the second time he had something to say, he started gesticulating, and I didn't realize this until I watched the video, and I was like, that's really funny. So anyway, it was just something, some people talk with their hands, some more than others. Apparently, I do it a lot.
A lot.
And I didn't know that.
She's done it before. I mean, it wasn't a surprise. I guess I just didn't. It's so old hat for me and you that I don't notice it as much.
But we also don't videotape ourselves, so...
Right. And it usually doesn't get in my way. But it was definitely in my way on Friday.
But it was very interesting. So I think... I was actually very surprised in myself how well I handled it. Meaning, I'm not saying I'm the best interviewer.
No, but you were cool as a cucumber. I thought for sure you were going to puke on him.
On him? Probably on you. I would never do that. I would turn and puke on you.
Thanks?
No, not thanks. But I just...
She was pretty
surprised.
Calm and collected, you
I
guys.
Was surprised.
I was. You'll see. You will hear.
I was surprised. That's all I can say. I was surprised.
Now, what you can't hear, because it's not an oral cue, is how absolutely lovely Tobias Menzies' eyes are. And having seen the first episode, this was something I didn't even see in the first episode because I just always assumed his eyes were brown. But his eyes are a very, very light shade of brown, and they've got freckling in them. Like, there's little tiny freckles, like darker spots of brown inside of the irises of his eyes. And I'd never seen that before, and I was mesmerized.
Hey. Okay, the Outlander Podcast. Okay, whoa. Ginger and Summer with the Outlander Podcast.
Hi, Ginger
and
Summer.
And this is Sarah with Outlander TV News.
Very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you so much.
So a question I know you've been asked before, but we'd like to hear it, even if it's a repeat.
Sure.
Approaching Frank and Blackjack Randall, we sometimes say for short, BJR. Approaching these two men, which one have you had more of a challenge with? And how would you deal with filming both in one day, if as mentally, professionally?
I mean, thankfully, it wasn't something that happened. I haven't had to do them both in a day, though. I wouldn't be surprised it will happen at some point. I mean, in terms of the sort of the challenges of the two different roles, I think on the face of it, Jack is a harder proposition because it's obviously trying to portray some very nasty and dark sort of human emotions. But I think Frank was deceptively difficult as well in that we had to establish very rapidly at the beginning of the show the relationship between Frank and Claire and give it a sort of depth and a sense of history and, you know, the time they spent together and get that very quickly. But I was lucky to be working with Katrina, who, you know, we really got along quickly and straight away, and I hope those things, you know, we managed to sort of build a relationship that the audience care about it when she leaves it, you know.
Yeah. Yes, that's actually one thing that was obviously being done a little bit differently in the book to flesh out that Claire and Frank relationship.
Yeah, there's more of Frank, yeah.
Exactly, and as a visual medium, you do need that because you need people to buy it.
Exactly, and care about it when she chooses not to go back.
Care about it, but also care about him.
Yeah.
Even though he's, quote-unquote, absent, right?
Yeah.
But, that's we are thrilled that there is more of Frank, so we have more of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one last question before I let you go. If we're blessed with further seasons, how would you feel about reprising or continuing with BJR and Frank?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we haven't got to the end of the first lot of us, yeah. But I'm hoping we will carry on, and with a bit of luck, we will. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Lovely to meet you.
Look forward to tonight. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, take care.
He does have very beautiful eyes, and he makes good eye contact. She's like, he's looking right into my soul.
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is he would look away to think,
but
you know,
he
come
was
back.
No. Looking right into your soul with those freckled hazel eyes. He was charming.
Very charming. And he would give you his attention when you were asking a question and when he spoke with you. So
he was definitely fully present, which I appreciate.
Definitely. So it was very, that was probably my favorite.
So I'd like to preface this next and last interview by stating that I had no idea going in that we were going to be tag-teamed by Sam and Katrina. I had a list of possible questions in mind for Sam, and then, you know, a shorter list, because I wasn't intending to interview Katrina myself. That was when Ginger and I were speaking ahead of time, she was going to, you know, interview Katrina and I was going to interview Sam, but when they came together, I was like, oh, crap. And then also a lot of the questions that I had for Sam seemed a little inappropriate with Katrina there. So I held those back and I just kind of tried to find some other medium ground to go with. But they were both very, very sweet. And the lead up to this interview was funny for me because we were in our little triangle formation, as we stated before, with very little room. And we somehow maneuvered around to put me in the front so that I could take this one interview.
I promised you this one because you not only had this one been promised to you, I had stayed up there the entire time. And I'm like, we have to do this. So, we had to put you up there.
So, if you can hear me in the background of any of the other interviews, bully for you. Because that my little one, little cool, it was actually a really awesome little mic that we bought. That was just a little add-on that you plug into your phone. And it is omnidirectional, so it catches, you know, 360 degrees of sound. However, if you're not very close to it, which I was not. I was about a foot to 2 feet behind the action, if you will. I was hard to catch, and I was not screaming loud enough to be picked up in the background because I was trying to not scream at people as they came by. But I think that overall the sound quality from this little mic was actually pretty cool. But this was my one chance to shine and be up front and center. And as a person, I want you to know that I felt like I fumbled and sounded like a giant idiot. And then I went back and listened to it, and I was like, oh, I didn't actually sound that bad. But I totally thought at the time, because we had, I think it's about a minute of interview, but it felt like 10 minutes, and it felt like I stood there and went, buh, for like 5 minutes. But I didn't, in fact. So, again, Sam Heughan. I'm Team Jamie.
Oh, hey, Sarah. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Hi. I'm Ginger and Summer from Outlander Podcast.
Hey.
Podcast.
We've heard about you guys.
That's scary.
All good stuff.
So how much do you guys actually go back and refer to the book? Do you at all, or do you just stick strictly to the scripture given?
No, I mean, obviously the primary footprint is now that, you know, obviously I read the book first, but the primary footprint is always the scripts. But I will definitely go back and read sections when we're dealing with certain moments. I'll go back and read those sections in the book. I think it's so helpful to have, you know. That's great.
It's funny. I do regularly look at it. It's funny how your instincts somehow always marry up with what she's doing. I don't know. It's kind of like even the action, the way that we plot action sometimes. And I think, oh, and then I go back to the book and go, well, that's very similar, or that's what we decided on. So, yeah. It's the Bible.
It is the Bible. That's what I always think of it. I'm like, because I just watched the first two episodes last night.
What did you think?
Yay!
No, you guys got it. You just got it. I was sat there with chill bumps, like, all over, like, my entire body for 2 hours.
That's awesome.
Like, two hours.
That's what we like to hear.
It was good. No, it was very good. But you guys just so captured in on screen what I've been seeing in my head for, like, the last 15 years. So, which is amazing, because I, after having read it, I was like, there's no way they'll ever find people that can do what I've been doing in my head for 15 years. But you guys totally got it. Are you guys in it for the long haul if we get several more seasons?
Yeah, we have signed up. I think we signed our life away, didn't we?
we did. We signed up for it, so let's do it. Yeah, make it happen.
I'm trying, but I'm only a small podcast.
That's what right, we're all about.
We need more cameras.
Just one quick question. Are the guys protective of you on set at all?
Yes, it's 50% protective and 50% take the absolute piss out of me. So somewhere, it's very much like having a lot of brothers.
She gives as good as she gets.
Thank you guys so much.
I meant to say before the Tobias interview that I have been Team Jamie pretty much from day one, but he kind of made me think maybe I should be a little bit on Team Frank after the interview with Tobias. But I am solidly Team Jamie.
So after the end of the red carpet, we of course went in and
I want to say that Stars went all out.
Oh,
because the walkway, like I was almost a little bit uncomfortable, but the walkway in to the theater was lined by men in kilts that were literally propped up on rocks. Like they, like almost all of them had like one leg up, like propped on the rock, to the point that I was like, I didn't even want to look. I felt almost uncomfortable, like they were daring me to look up their kilts, and I didn't want to. No, I did want to, but I didn't want to be caught doing it.
Were they that high?
Some of them were. Some of the rocks were put their crotches like head level with me. I almost felt like they were daring you to look. Like it was, I didn't look, and I felt like they were all looking down at me like, I dare you to look. But I didn't. But there was a good deal of them, and every last one of them was like really attractive.
They handpicked those guys.
They did. They had a casting. They must have had a casting, and they were all different colorings. There were gingers. There were blondes. My favorites were the dark headed ones with beards. Like I don't know. I didn't think I was into beards, but there were some really good looking guys in kilts. We should post more of our pictures.
We will definitely do that, probably in, well, obviously in a blog post. Not, can't do it here in the audio, but we'll do that. We'll have to have a post that is for, that goes into more detail.
Correct.
Or we can just update, we'll get this episode up and then we'll update it with pictures later on because it's already getting late.
Now, we obviously went from the red carpet into the screening and we were seated separately, which I thought was strange, but I went with it. And I was seated between a girl and a guy from Comic-Con who literally just had a giant bag of swag. Like, he didn't really look like he went with the group that was there. And it became very clear that he was only there because he needed a place to nap. Because that's what he did for the entire episode. Which was bizarre
to
me.
He did?
Oh, he did.
Oh.
He smelled bad, too. But I didn't want to go there. So he was sleeping and stinky, and then the woman next to me was, of course, way into it. And obviously, we don't want to tease the episode too much. We don't want to give anything away because we are a spoiler-free zone. We try to be that way.
Episodes 1 and 2 are embargoed until the second.
And of course, as of the second, all holds are off. We will be discussing episode 1.
Except that we're not going to do it until the following episode.
Well, no, because we're going to watch it on the second.
Well. Yeah, but the next episode is purely Diana. We can do announcements.
Did we tell you that already?
I already said it.
Did we talk about that?
Yeah.
That Diana's going to be on next week?
Yes. And we're very excited. The cool thing is, a little teaser, I guess, now about Diana, is that we wanted, for ourselves, because we're a little selfish, we admit, we wanted to hear things that we'd never heard before. And the only way you can do that is by, of course, asking new questions. Of course, she has every right to say she won't answer. If it's too spoilery or if it's something that she just doesn't want to discuss, that's fine. But we thought, let's go with some really interesting ones. And we had some help from a few people. And the questions, and if you think this, I can definitely see where you'd be coming from. The questions are kind of all over the place. But it's all things that either we found interesting or that a few other people that we conferred with found interesting.
I think...
They're not random.
At the heart of it. I feel that if we think something's interesting, I'd be willing to bet that most of her fans will find it interesting.
I would hope so.
Because we try to ask questions that you haven't heard everywhere.
And it may not be 100% new, but I've asked a few people who are pretty well read, and including the CompuServe forums, and they have not heard this before. So it's possible that one of our questions has been answered, or the information is out there that we just didn't know. It's very possible, but the few people that I've mentioned it to have like gotten goosebumps from the answer from one of the questions. And another one, I don't think we've really told anyone. So one was one is a definite first timer, and we're very, that's kind of cool.
You know, I almost wish that we had somebody taking pictures of us when we interview people. Just because
to get our faces.
I can't adequately describe to you what we look like when we're interviewing Diana and Davina, because I'm on the edge of my seat. Half the time I've got like my knees up around my face and I've got this like big poop eating grin on my face, like hee. And it's just not adequately described. You just have to see it. But maybe one of these days we'll have to.
A combination of that, and then when you get this fantastic answer or something that just like punches you in the gut or something that is totally funny and you're not expecting it, there's that split second or longer of silence where my jaw just drops and I become speechless, which is not that common.
And there's always the silent high five.
Oh, we had one of those. It was pretty cool.
We like the silent high five.
So yeah, so that's enough teasing for next week.
Yes. It'll obviously be exciting. Please come back.
And we think you'll enjoy it. So I think that wraps it up for this episode.
Good God. What an episode.
This was, pretty cool.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to Comic-Con next year.
Summer told me, yeah. Summer said, I don't know, you didn't tell me that night because we had to do our thing, watch the show, and you had to skedaddle. But since then, since I've been home and we've been able to connect a little bit more, yeah, she did say that.
It's going to be an adult vacation for me away from my child next year. That's what I'm saying.
So I guess pod. Okay, so it may be hashtag whiskey pod. Wow. So basically, we may be bringing whiskey pod to Comic-Con.
Or maybe like VodkaCon. Or
VodkaCon. Sorry.
Maybe wine pod. Rhenish pod.
Rhenish pod. Okay, that's fair. Something pod. But pod goes to con. We'll see. PodCon. No. PodCon? But anyway, it'll be something interesting. And
but we have a year to prep for it. You have a year to prepare for it. So,
and we hope to.
And maybe we'll see some of you there.
Yeah, I hope to see some more of you there. So, until next week, thank you again, as always, so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode with Diana.
Visit our website at www.outlanderpod.com. Follow us on Twitter at @outlanderpod. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpod or email us at outlanderpod@gmail.com. My young